We're coming your way live today on Labor Day with practical steps you can take to be a world changer, a Jesus revolutionary.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Labor Day here on the Line of Fire, but I am here with you live. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time because you're normally working during this hour. Maybe you've got some free family time. The whole family can listen in, but thanks for joining me. You say, why be live today? Aren't most people doing a replay or a best of show? Yeah, but I didn't want to do that. I was going to be home. Love doing live radio, didn't want to take the extra time to pre-record a show, so here we are, which also means that we've got some extra time for questions that you might have if you'd like to call and interact. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Even if it's off topic, I will take some calls today as well, or you can weigh in on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Yesterday in Charlotte, colleagues of mine here that are part of Fire Church, and in fact whose office building we use and rent from, colleagues of mine put together a major event called Charlotte 714. Now, I'm going to report more on that in the second hour because it was a Charlotte-based event, and our second hour is on in Charlotte and Greater North Carolina stations. But just to give you a quick report, I believe more than 80 different churches were represented. Many key leaders from without the region were there. And we had, over the course of the day, according to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, over the course of the day, 9,000 people who attended the event, and maybe half of that number present at any one time. So it was a good, substantial crowd. There were no famous guest speakers announced or anything like that. The goal was to gather together to repent of our sin and to cry out to God for mercy on our city and on our nation and for the awakening of believers. I was asked to bring the closing message, and during that closing message, to which almost everyone there responded, to make a life and death commitment to follow Jesus. And by life and death commitment, I just mean a normal New Testament commitment, come hell, high water. Regardless of cost or consequence, we're going to follow Jesus. We give life. We don't take life. We lay our lives down to help and serve others. Nonetheless, many places in the world you can go following Jesus could cost you your life. When we were finished, okay, what next? What next? And I read 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. I may have spoken on this theme a year and a half ago on the radio. I don't recall exactly. But I'm going to read these 10 to you over the course of this hour. I'm going to interact in terms of expanding these points. And the question is always, what next? We have a big meeting. We have a big rally. We have a special service. We have a special speaker. What next? I said last night, more of the same will only accomplish more of the same. If, let's say, you've had a certain regimen of diet and exercise for 10 years, and every year you gain 5 pounds. Well, more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. Without a radical change, things won't change around us. Maybe you've had a certain budget and lifestyle for years, and at the end of every year, you're $5,000 more in debt. Well, more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. Well, the fact is, our same preaching, our same teaching, our same church life, doing more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. There must be radical change, and the radical change starts where? With you and with me. Not by pointing a finger at the Democrats or the Republicans or the nation, but you and me. That's what I want to talk about today. Anything you want to ask me, interact about, the phones are open on this live Labor Day broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast today. So glad to see the phone lines lighting up on this Labor Day, which just reminds me there are folks listening live, and it's good not to just do a repeat show if you have the ability to come your way live. So here we are, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm talking today about 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. I'll read them all to you in a moment, just in case some of you are only going to be with us for a few minutes. I want you to hear them all. I'll expand on them over the course of this hour, probably over a two-hour process. I'll expand on these, but I'll take your calls on anything relevant to today's broadcast or irrelevant because it's a live Monday on Labor Day. So we'll just kind of open the phone lines a little bit more broadly. Let me read these 10 commitments to you. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. By a Jesus revolutionary, I mean a legitimate New Testament disciple. I mean someone who's really taken up the cross and is following Jesus. I mean someone who's willing to be engaged in impacting the society, be it privately or publicly. I mean someone who, having been radically changed by the Lord, goes out to bring radical change, not the way the world does, not hatred, not anger, not intimidation, God forbid, violence, no, by the Jesus principles, which are far more radical than worldly principles, ones in which we overcome evil with good, ones in which we overcome hatred with love. Here are the 10 principles, 10 commitments. I'm sure if we will keep these and live these out, America will be shaken. I have no question about it. If a million Americans really live this out consistently, or 10 million Americans really live this out consistently, America would be shaken. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Yes, the most basic of all basics, but it starts there. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice in my city, speaking the truth in love, regardless of cost or consequence. Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. Friends, if we will consistently live these things out, our cities will be shaken, our nation will be shaken, and Jesus will be mightily exalted. Thank God for those who have voices to reach the whole nation through radio or TV or internet or book or movie or other forms. Thank God for that. But the real battle, so to say, is lived out day to day among ordinary people, not superstars. And in fact, there are no superstars in the kingdom. If we had any spiritual sense, we'd realize that all glory and honor and power goes to King Jesus. And we bow down and worship him, not people. We're enamored with him, not people. We're enthralled with him, not people. I'm simply saying that if we would live as his disciples and exalt him in word and deed, in conduct, and live lives that are true on the inside as well as on the outside, that our commitment to God is as true as our private lives and our public lives are true to our private lives. If we would do that, friends, God would back us and God would move and this nation would be shaken in Jesus' name. There's no question about it. The same things you read about in the book of Acts and cities being shaken and the great impact and either revival or riot or both, they would happen because God would move and light would shine in dark places and there would be a reaction to that and Jesus would be exalted and lives would change and we would pay a price for our faith to God. We would pay a price for our obedience. So be it. That's what we're called to in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, Mike, God bless you. You're definitely doing a great work for the Lord. And I have to share this comment, which is I don't think anything's going to change until America becomes a third world country like communist Cuba and like North Korea. It's just that simple. And let me add that things will not change until Christians openly get arrested in their own homes for being believers and being put in jail and openly beaten in the streets. That's the kind of times we're heading for in America. Mike, keep up the good work. God bless you. I'll let you go.
All right, thanks. Do you agree with Jeff? Do you think that radical change can come without America being totally impoverished and persecution breaking out? Or do you think that's what it may take for awakening to come? 866-34-TRUTH. George in Fort Fairfield, Maine, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Loyal listener, first-time caller, and I do appreciate you waging spiritual warfare over the airwaves on this holiday. I was able to participate with Charlotte 714 through the live webcast.
Wonderful.
And I was trying in the worst way to get down to North Carolina, and I had time off from work, but I just didn't have the resources. And people in North Carolina were offering their homes, you know, host families. And but then I was just blessed by the live webcast, and I spent 7 hours. And I just saw how you were moved when Frank Turek had mentioned about the man that his daughter raised in the Christian faith and a professing Christian went off to university and lost her faith at university. And I think for me the highlight of Charlotte 714 was the clip of the late Dave Wilkerson about mm-hmm. anguish. And what Jeff had said earlier, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that claim, but what a sad state of affairs that would be if we wait until that occurs.
Yeah, and just to fill our listeners in, and, you know, I didn't even realize there was going to be a live webcast. Otherwise, I would have announced it and promoted it. Somehow, with all the focus we had on the event itself, I didn't even realize that until I got a note later in the day from one of our grads in Colorado saying the impact was felt in Colorado, and he had been watching. But the first thing is the clip from David Wilkerson, anyone can listen to that on YouTube. It's about 9 or 10 minutes long. And if you just type in David Wilkerson and the word anguish, it's very powerful. I was talking to my son-in-law after the event, and we were both deeply convicted by it. I've played it on the air before, but it's still convicting in terms of the brokenness or lack thereof in our own lives, or the tears or lack thereof in our own lives, and the need to just separate ourselves more and consecrate ourselves to God in prayer. The other thing is, I told Frank Turek afterwards. Frank's a well-known apologist. He and Norm Geisler co-wrote the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And when he was telling that story, the reaction on my part was, yes, it was sad to hear about any teenager raised in the faith going off to college and then losing their faith. But I told him afterwards that when he was sharing it, I thought he had said it was his own daughter. Now, it turns out he doesn't have any daughters, only sons. But here is, in my mind, the daughter of a man who's been an apologist for years and co-wrote the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And then his daughter calls from college and says, I'm an atheist.
I understand the pained look.
Yeah, as he shared another few seconds, he mentioned the dad being someone else. So I told him that afterwards. But the fact is, that's somebody's daughter nonetheless. Mm. And the pain that I felt was a fraction of the pain the father felt. Tomorrow, George, during this hour, we're going to have William Lane Craig on the air with us, one of the world's foremost apologists. And we're going to be talking about practical things that every believer can do to get more solid in the faith, answer objections, have ready responses to skeptics and to non-believers and to critics. So we really want to equip people there. But George, thanks for watching via the live webcast.
And thank you for your free resources on the internet. I just I listen to the MP3 player, and I'm always downloading. I've listened to you for hours and hours and hours, and you are a blessing. And just God bless you and continue the work for the.
Thank you for those kind words, George. And friends, the reason we can offer so much free online is because of your faithful support. So to all of our torchbearers, to our monthly supporters, and for the many who've sent in one-time gifts, thank you for helping us bless George and countless hundreds of thousands or millions of others. Back with much more. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. It's Labor Day, but I am coming your way live. Live on Labor Day, 866-34-TRUTH. Anything you want to talk to me about, on topic or off, we're just opening up the phones. First two calls have actually been on topic. Next few may not be, but that's fine. We're doing things a little differently on this Labor Day Live Monday. And again, if you missed my announcement in the last segment, Professor William Lane Craig, one of the world's foremost Christian apologists, will be joining me the entire first hour on the air tomorrow. So 2 to 3 Eastern Standard, 1 to 2 Central, wherever else you're listening, you can compute that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones with Anil in Greenbelt, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor. Before my question, a quick comment on Jeff, your first caller.
Yes, sir.
About poverty. I think intuitively we know the poor show more faithfulness because they have greater need for God. And I think the history of this country shows that too. When immigrants came to the wilderness, they clung to the cross and the Bible, and there was no question that someone could be a non-believer, an open atheist, and still be accepted in these little growing settler communities. Mm-hmm. Affluence does breed atheism, socialism, and false sense of our own confidence. And as an immigrant myself, I can't get to the U.S. if I declare I'm a socialist or an atheist. Without the green card for many years, I clung to the cross, and God is good all the time. Mm.
And let me just jump in before your question and say that for sure any of us can experience personal revival and deep devotion to God, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're prosperous or in poverty. At the same time, the pull of materialism, the distractions of materialism, can make it challenging to really focus on the Lord. If you think for a moment about if I was locked in a room for 1 week and I had no internet access, no computer with me, no TV that I could watch, no cell phone that I could use, and I was just left with a Bible and I was given a week, how much time would I spend praying and reading the Word? As opposed to if I was in that same room with this unbelievable widescreen TV with access to anything I wanted on cable or internet, with high-speed internet access to do whatever I needed, with cell phone working and the Bible, you know, it's just going to be easier. Oh, this sports thing I really wanted to watch. Oh, this old movies, you know, it's simple as that is, that can happen. So it's a greater challenge often in the midst of material blessing to keep our focus on the Lord. So I'm in agreement with what you said, sir. And what country did you immigrate from?
Well, I'm ethnic Indian, but many generations in South Africa, so I got here from South Africa. And I'm actually a seminary student, and as a seminary student, I'm both grateful and in awe of your knowledge and also how you do it, not only what you teach, but how you do it. And I remember hearing about the Charlotte discussion on gay rights, and a gay guy called in and was very appreciative of your approach. And I think our missionaries, when they come back from poor countries, ought to keep more of the similar spirit that they preach to the heathen, the so-called heathen.
Because may the Lord help us.
We tend to be missionaries outside much better than we are at home, you know.
Yeah, it's the truth. We go on a missions trip overseas, and we stand on the street corners and preach because nobody knows us there, and it doesn't cost the same. All right, hey, I'm just looking at the clock here. Better get to your questions, sir. But thank you for the kind words.
You're welcome, sir. I was reading John Piper's book, The Pleasures of God, and Meditations on God's Delight in Being God. The question about the Trinity came up. Most of the book is saying, you know, truth we all agree that God doesn't need us. He enjoyed being God without the creation or long before the creation because of the communion within the Trinity. But unfortunately, in this book, he doesn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. It's mostly about God and the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering whether you could fill in, I know it's an unfair question, if there's anything you could fill in terms of that, because...
Right, so the quote, communion enjoyed between Father, Son, and Spirit. Here's what's interesting, Anil. In terms of what John Piper wrote, I can't say why he didn't speak more of the Spirit, because there's a great emphasis on our relationship with God through through the Spirit, and fellowship with the Spirit, and so on, and fruit of the Spirit, which, of course, John Piper knows very well. But the only real references to communion within the Trinity would be like John 17, Jesus speaking of the glory that he enjoyed with the Father before the world began. Or if we take wisdom as a personification of the Son in Proverbs 8, there's an interaction there. Otherwise, these things are more mysterious, Anil. The great emphasis on Scripture is on God's oneness and self-sufficiency as opposed to communion within the Godhead. So I would say that we only know what has been revealed to us, and what has been revealed to us is simply what we need to know to live for God and please Him in this world. And I would put these other things, honestly, in the category of mystery. Now, some others may be able to explain how Father, Son, and Spirit related to one another in eternity past. I just don't see sufficient scripture personally to make strong statements, and rather leave that in the realm of mystery. God's eternal self-existence defies our imagination, and yet we know it's utterly true and necessarily true. But the eternal communion within the Godhead, those to me are mysteries that transcend what is written. Therefore, I can't speculate that much on it. But thank you for the call and the comments. Hey, friends, phone lines are lit up, and I'm going to get to every one of you on the other side of the break. I just want to remind you, and especially if you're just listening in on Labor Day, we have an amazing relationship with Logos Bible Software. I am so thrilled that they have decided to continue this because the response from our listeners was so tremendous. If you go to logos.com, L-O-G-O-S.com, logos.com/lineoffire, all right? Or excuse me, Line of Fire Radio, logos.com. Line of Fire Radio. If you go there, you'll get a 15% discount on all base packages, which start as low as $200 and are worth $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. An unbelievable amount of stuff you get at your fingertips. So you just type in a verse you want to study, and boom, all the commentaries on it that you have will pop up, and word studies, and it's amazing. 27,000 plus books available by ebook. And anything you order, if you just get one book from them, anything ordered, Line of Fire gets 15% of the sale. We're blessed with that. So go to logos.com/lineoffireradio or call this number, 1-800-875-6467, 1-800-875-6467, and mention the Line of Fire. One more time, 1-800-875-6467.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. It's Labor Day, but I'm coming your way live. 866-34-TRUTH. Sharing 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. In other words, you want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You want to be a world changer. You may be shut in at home. You may be 18 years old, fresh into college. Whoever you are, you may be married with five kids. And you say, I want to make a difference. You may be sitting right now behind your desk working on Labor Day. I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. Here are 10 simple things that every one of us can do. Nothing is stopping any of us from doing any of these 10 things, except ultimately our own will, because God's will is set for us to do these things. And if with his help, because he will help us, with his help, we determine to take steps in the right direction, who knows what God will do through each of our lives. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me begin to break these down one at a time. And a little later in this half hour, I will reread all 10 for those that may have missed them. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Friends, there's no substitute for this. Look, I could make it as simple as this. You're about to go on a long journey. You've got a six-hour car ride, and your tank is basically empty, your fuel tank. Well, if you don't fill that fuel tank up, you're not even going to get 15 minutes into the journey, let alone an hour, let alone have any chance of going 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours. But it's more than just filling our tanks. When we spend quality time with God, our thoughts change, our attitudes change, our desires change, our vision changes, our understanding of what's right and wrong changes. Have you ever had a bad attitude towards someone? You're upset, you're angry, your pride is hurt, and you're like, I'm right. I'm in the right. They hurt me, and I'm in the right. And they got no business doing what they did. And you're upset. And you're carrying that, and your friends with you like, hey, you have every right to be upset. What they did to you is wrong, dead wrong. And you feel like that. And then you go into a worship service, and the Holy Spirit is moving beautifully, and you begin to realize, my heart's not right with God. I'm not just mad at people. My heart's not right with God. And then God begins to minister to his love and reminds you of how he freely forgave you in Jesus and how many times you've done worse than this to others, and yet God's forgiven you when you've come to him. And next thing is you're in his presence, you start to get convicted and realize, I've got a sinful attitude. And they probably didn't mean to hurt me after all. And what I'm saying is when you get in God's presence, things change. And the Word is the anchor for our lives. The Word's the foundation. The Word's the compass that's going to get us in the right direction. We renew our minds, our thinking, our understanding with the Word of God. And then prayer is our time to fellowship with God and then to ask God to move and work on our behalf. I mean, you can try your hardest, and many times we do, but without God's intervention and blessing and help, our efforts are futile. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watched the city, the watchman watches in vain. So the first fundamental principle that every one of us need to live out, doesn't matter if you've been in ministry for 60 years, if you're a brand new believer, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Yeah, the more the better, but don't get hung up there. Don't start with saying it's got to be 2 hours, or start where you are. And the time you spend with God in prayer and the Word, let it be quality. All right, back with your calls. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. We're coming your way live on Labor Day, 866-34-TRUTH. Interspersing in the midst of your calls on anything you want to talk about, since it's a kind of a free day today. Interspersing in the midst of your calls, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. I've read all 10. I'll read them all again in a little while. And then I'm expanding on them over the course of 2 hours today. By the way, on Friday, there was a big announcement. There was going to be a gathering of Muslims for Juma, a joint community prayer in Marshall Park here in Charlotte before the Democratic National Convention. And it was basically with the sanction of the convention or the recognition of the convention on some level. And they said they're expecting 20,000 Muslims. I just thought that's quite a number. I wonder where they're going to come from. Anyway, there were 200 or less. Yeah, 200 or less. Just to let you know. Doesn't mean that Islam is not growing and spreading around the world, but just to let you know, there are 200 or less instead of 20,000. A little embarrassing. 866-34-TRUTH. Jimmy in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling up from. I'm a Jew. I live in the 21st century. I witness to my fellow Jews on the basis we all live in the 21st century. There's subs going in and out of America, you know, that could blow a hole in the ozone at any time. It's unleashed.
Got it.
I wanted to ask you what happens when you read your Bible, like in the book of Acts, and it says, like you quoted Friday, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. When you think of the restitution of all things, are you thinking of the fact that Jesus goes to heaven and comes back to this earth and speaking of the restitution of all things only on this earth? Or are you thinking of the fact that Abraham was shown the stars and his faith was on things way beyond this earth?
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking about specifically. What I'm thinking about is the full statement in Acts, the third chapter, of which you quoted a very significant and important part, that says this, beginning verse 19, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about God, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." So I look back to the main prophecies about what happens when the Messiah returns, about the kingdom of God being established on the earth. Isaiah, the second chapter, the people beating their swords into plowshares, the nations of the world flocking to Jerusalem to hear the teaching of the Lord. Zechariah 14, all nations coming up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Isaiah 11, the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas, and no more war on God's holy mountain and his earth, and the wolf lying down with the lamb. That's what I expect to see. That's the first stage. The prophet spoke of it explicitly. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 19 and spoke at the regeneration that the apostles would be reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel. So I see a restored kingdom here on the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then I see 2 Peter 3, that the culmination of all things, Revelation 21, 22, will be a renewed heaven and earth, everything being purged by fire. And having been purged by fire, then the eternal age comes in. So I'm a premillennialist. I believe first the 1,000-year reign of the Messiah on the earth as we reign together with him, and then the eternal age, which Revelation 21 and 22 speak of, and a new Jerusalem right here on earth and a renewed heaven and earth. Hey, Jimmy, thank you for the question. 866-34-TRUTH. Joseph in Bowie. All right, we lost Joseph in Bowie, Maryland. Let's go to BJ in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate your show. You shed a lot of light on Scripture, and I'm so glad that you're stressing revival. I love the 10 points, especially since the Lord's been dealing with me about forgiveness. I just reconciled with my goddaughter that I hadn't spoken to for 3 years.
Wonderful.
But my question, I'm sorry, sir. My question is that I had been thinking about the cyclical nature of revival and how it occurs sometimes hundreds of years apart, and then it's as if every decade there's a revival. But then your question about what's next, I was wondering if you've done some type of erudite study of this pattern of revival so that I could understand it better and also get an idea of when we can expect it and where.
Got it. Well, thank you for the questions and the good words as well. BJ, a few things in response. Number one, some have argued for large cyclical patterns in a society. And it goes from conservative to liberal, and then it collapses and goes back to conservative and things like that. Some authors wrote about it some years ago in the fourth turning point. And this is over a period of hundreds of years, how societies develop and change. That may be true. I'm not expert enough to answer that. In terms of revival, there are cycles and there are not cycles. When I say there are cycles, I mean, generally speaking, we don't cry out and we don't get desperate until things are really bad. We don't often wake up until there's danger. Just like the person that eats not the most unhealthy diet, but not the healthiest diet, and puts on some extra weight, gets out of shape, then has a heart attack, and now they're eating like seaweed, you know? Often we don't wake up, sadly, until things are more urgent, until things are more desperate, until we're in a more life and death situation. Often that's when we cry out. There, on the other hand, there's no cycle, meaning there's no guarantee. You can go a generation without revival. You can go a century without revival. There are some countries where the gospel has spread for almost 2,000 years, and they've not had a national revival that would be the equivalent of the Great Awakening in America or the prayer revival that impacted the nation in 1857, 1858. So there's good and bad news. The bad news is you can't just push a button and make it happen. You can't just say, okay, if I'll do 100 push-ups and 200 sit-ups a day and eat this food, I will get to this goal on this day. You can't do the same with revival because this is something God sends down rather than something man works up. On the flip side, we have abundant promises that God is near to the brokenhearted, that he revives the spirit of those who are desperate and seeking his face, that he will fill the hungry and the thirsty, which means that in my own life, I'm just going to determine to go after him. In my own life, I'm going to cry out until the breakthrough comes. And if you've not read my book, Time for Holy Fire, I'd strongly encourage you to read that because that'll give you a larger perspective on what revival is, some of the cycles involved, and put a greater hunger and vision in your heart for revival in your own life as well as in your church and city. So it's readily available online called Time for Holy Fire. I'd encourage you to read that, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, BJ. God bless you, and so glad to hear about the reconciliation with your goddaughter. 866-34-TRUTH. Do I have time for another call? Sure. Ben in Everett, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Praise God. I have a question about lordship theology.
Yeah.
We had a big thing in my church. You know, my son and my daughter-in-law left the church and all because they believe in lordship theology and like it's, I mean, I know it's not a cult, so it's a, you know, it's not a heretical thing. I know it's, you know, they just say salvation. I don't understand it totally. I'm wondering if you could fill me in a little better on it.
Sure. What we tend to do is caricature both sides. So the critics of lordship theology present it as if you have to get rid of every single sin and follow Jesus perfectly before you can be saved, which, of course, no one believes in lordship theology. And then the proponents of lordship theology will often exaggerate the other side as if anything goes. There's no requirement for a follower of Jesus. Anything goes. Let me tell you why I would be in the lordship camp. Jesus is called Lord hundreds of times in the New Testament. He's called Savior about 15 times in the New Testament. And he plainly says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. I do not believe that we can be saved and consciously reject the lordship of Jesus. I don't believe that we should present a gospel that speaks of Jesus as Savior only, and then once the person gets saved, teach that he's also the Lord. What we need to teach, and I'm going to continue explaining this on the other side of the break, Ben. What we need to teach is that the Savior is the Lord. The one who's saving you is the Lord Jesus. Are you willing to follow him? That's the question. Not just do you want your sins forgiven, are you willing to follow him as Lord?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're coming your way live on Labor Day here on the Line of Fire. Last night, yesterday afternoon, 6-7 hour period, total of about 9,000 people gathered for Charlotte 714, organized by my colleague here at Fire, David Benham, with his brother Jason. A gathering of over 80 churches, leaders from around the city and region coming together to repent, to cry out to the Lord, to exalt Jesus, to rededicate our lives to him. And I'm reading something that I wrote a couple years back and we gave out to thousands of people last night called 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolution. I'll read all 10 to you again in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Just want to get back to my conversation with Ben in Everett, Massachusetts about lordship theology. Ben, what I understand is this scripturally. The gospel is never presented in the New Testament as simply your ticket to heaven or your way of forgiveness of sins. It is rather, we've been sinning against God and rebellion against God. He's calling us back to himself in obedience, and he's offering us complete amnesty through Jesus, through the cross, complete forgiveness. Not only forgiveness, but we become sons and daughters of God. We become joint heirs with Jesus the Messiah. We have eternal life, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. All of that, wonderful. Not earned. Anything we could do to earn it. It's a free gift. But the gift is now to serve God. In other words, it's not, okay, I'm going to be forgiven. I still do my own thing. I'm going to be forgiven. I can still go out and commit adultery. I can still go out and kill this person. I can still go out and rob this bank because I'm forgiven. No, to the contrary, I'm forgiven so that I can now serve God. There's no separation of this anywhere in the New Testament. So even though many people get saved without really understanding the dimensions of this, and through our entire lives in the Lord, we'll be growing in our understanding of what it means to follow Jesus as Lord, for sure. And he'll keep showing us areas in our lives where we need to grow. I believe it is impossible to be saved and reject Jesus as Lord. So if someone says, okay, I just want him as Savior, do I have to have him as Lord? Can I be forgiven of my sins and still do my own thing? The answer is, of course, no. The Savior is the Lord. So if anyone preaches contrary to that, something's wrong with their theology or something's wrong with their understanding of lordship. So I absolutely believe in lordship salvation, lordship theology, meaning that the Savior is the Lord and he's saving us to serve him. We've been saved from disobedience to obedience, from rebellion to service, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of self. And a friend of mine who was raised in a denomination that taught you can have Jesus as Savior without having him as Lord actually said as a kid, he was at a summer camp and they gave an altar call. And at the altar call, they said, how many want to receive Jesus as Savior? Have your sins forgiven? No requirements, nothing. And most all the kids came up. And then they gave another call later in the week. Now you're already saved. How many would like to go one step further and have him as Lord? And he said, just a few of the kids went forward. He said, we figured it out. Hey, if we could be forgiven and have all these things happen, you know, without going forward to have Jesus as Lord, why? Hey, we're kids. Let's enjoy life now. Maybe we'll have him as Lord later. That's unbiblical. That is completely unbiblical. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to go back to the phones in one moment. Let me just remind you again that we have this incredible ongoing relationship with Logos Bible Software. They did this as a one-week promotional with us and decided to keep it going because the response was so great and because they're so pleased with the work we're doing. They have over 27,000 e-books. My series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, the first four of the five volumes are out. It's amazing how much is accessible. And when you get the software, if you get one of the Bible packages, you're doing Bible study, you type in your verse or a theme, and boom, all the relevant stuff will come up. It's really quite amazing to have this all at your fingertips. Here's what they've extended with us, that when you order a base package from them, you get 15% off, which is really unprecedented to do this in an ongoing way. 15% off on all base packages. If you get any single book from them or the base package, we get a 15% commission from Logos. So you get a discount on the base packages, regular price on everything else, all the other ebooks, and we benefit. We get 15%, which is extraordinary. And we've been blessed already. So you've been blessed, you've gotten the discount, and you've helped us. So to take advantage of this, go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on the online bookstore, and you'll see all the information you need. One link to click to go to their website, and you order through that website with the promotional code Line of Fire, or you call this number, 1-800-875-6467. Jot it down, 1-800-875-6467. Base packages can also be paid off by the month. I mean, I'm thrilled to be able to do this because you get the software. You're going to be digging into the word, more study, getting your life enriched. And you get a discount on the base packages. And we get 15% to help us with the radio broadcast. It's awesome. So I'm thrilled to promote this to you. All right. I'm going to stay with callers on the other side of the break. So hang on there for a few more minutes, and I'll take your call in the next hour. 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and in deed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker, an ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice in my city, speaking the truth in love, regardless of cost or consequence. Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. That's posted on the Charlotte 714 website, charlotte714.com or .org. You can read that there. And we'll get these posted in other places as well. And maybe one of these days I'll write a book expanding on these 10 themes. Because of all the phone calls we got, I only got to expand on the first one now. I'll continue in the next hour, as well as share more with you about what happened at Charlotte 714. Look, I live for lasting fruit, friends. I live to see Jesus exalted in a lasting, life-changing way. I'm on the radio because I want to see lasting fruit. I'm on the radio 2 hours a day because I'm committed to see a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution through the power of the gospel, where we live out the Jesus principles of nonviolent resistance to evil and extending the kingdom of God through doing good and through preaching Jesus. Let's join together, friends. Together, we are making a difference. My bottom line today, ask yourself, why not now? Ask yourself, why not you? What's stopping you from going after God like never before and making a difference while you have breath? Well, about 9,000 people gathered over the course of the day yesterday in Charlotte to pray, to fast, to cry out to God for revival, for Jesus revolution. We'll tell you about it next, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Labor Day, but we are live today on The Line of Fire. Most of the broadcasts on Labor Day would be playing a best of show from the past, but I wanted to be with you live today and especially to report on the events of Charlotte 714, a gathering that was coordinated by my colleague here at Fire, David Benham, with his brother Jason, drawing together more than 80 different churches, leaders from all over the greater Charlotte area for a day of prayer, repentance, crying out to God. If you were there, if you were at Charlotte 714, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. If you were impacted, give me a call, 866-348-7884. I had the joy of bringing the closing message of the day and calling the thousands that were there. 9,000 total attendance, that's the number given by Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And the organizers thought it was at least 8,000 based on programs that were handed out and things like that. Maybe at any one time, the biggest crowd was 4,000 plus. Maybe it was even higher than that. But people were there through the day, through the afternoon, into the evening. And when I gave the call to follow Jesus by life or by death, to give a fresh commitment to Jesus and the gospel, from what I could see, almost everybody responded. And then we read out loud together 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, which I'll be sharing with you this hour. But since it's Labor Day live on Monday, I'm taking calls on anything. Didn't get to all the calls for the last hour. Going to get to as many as I can this hour. It'd be on topic or off, just because it's a live Labor Day. Maybe you're getting to listen and call in, whereas normally you have to listen by podcast after work or something like that. Phones are open, 866-348-7884. Hey, let me tell you what. I'm going to mention this to you in the next segment. I want to tell you about StandUSA.com and something I did over the weekend. I'm going to come back to that. But let me read to you the 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. You say, no, no, man, I want to be like a revolutionary, man. I want to be like out there on the streets, man. I want to be like in this Tea Party thing or this Occupy thing. I just want to be kind of this holy rabble-rouser. Tell you what. Put that down for a little while, all right? Put all that stuff down. I'm not criticizing everybody involved in every movement that I just mentioned. Of course not. But the ad, I don't want to be out there, right, kind of stirring things up. No. Put that down. We're not here to stir things up. We're here to follow Jesus. Now, if we follow him in honesty and integrity and obedience, things will get stirred up. As some folks were chatting with me after the meeting last night, said, hey, the darkness doesn't like the light. Of course. Yes, things will get stirred up, but not because of our flesh, and certainly not because of our hostility or our anger or violent attitude. God forbid. That's why everything starts with our relationship with God. Personal relationship with God. Everything flows out of that. I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. You say, I have a busy day. I bet we waste some time, all of us, in the course of a day, or we have some life decisions that we have made that we could make differently that would free up time. You say, I don't have 3 hours. Well, who said 3 hours? Start where you are with quality time. There is something of a holy, addicting quality that the more time you spend with God, the more time you want to spend with God. The more time you commune in prayer and take in the Word, the more you find your need for prayer and the Word. Start there. You want to be a revolutionary, get to know Jesus intimately, perfectly, more deeply. We'll be back.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire radio broadcast live on Labor Day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you were at Charlotte 714 yesterday, we were told that the total count given by the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater itself was that there were 9,000 in attendance over the course of the day. If you were there, if you were impacted, give us a call. If you watch the live webcast and were impacted, give us a call. I'll share more about that in a little while. But let me tell you something I did over the weekend. I was given a screen copy, an advanced copy, of a movie that's coming out on September 14th called Last Ounce of Courage. I hardly ever go to the movies because there's hardly ever anything that I could go to that I feel good about going to, or that I could recommend people go to. There's either profanity or some sex scene or nudity or gratuitous violence. It's just, hey, how can I go there as a believer? Well, Last Ounce of Courage is a movie that's put out by Stand USA. So go to standusa.com. Standusa.com. This is a movement of individuals who want the truth to be told, not filtered or muted by those bent on changing America with their own agendas. And I'll tell you, the characters in the movie are just really believable characters. They're not super saints. They're regular people. But they get to a point where they realize, hey, I got to bring about change. I can't let things go the way they're going. And young people, old people, I can do something to bring about change. So I just want to alert you to this. Last Ounce of Courage, coming out September 14th. I watched it on Saturday, and I thought, this is what a great message to get across. You can go there with your whole family. They'll be blessed. They'll be stirred. For more info, go to standusa.com. Second principle of being a Jesus revolutionary: I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life in thought and speech and in deed. Friends, we can't give what we don't have. We can't change others if we ourselves have not been changed. We cannot war in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit while we are living in the flesh. And how can we call others to repentance when there's impurity in our own lives? No, I'm not saying that we become perfect, but for sure, I'm saying that God calls us to devotion to Him, and that means purity of heart and integrity of life in thought and speech and deed. It's not so much shouting on a street corner, although someone may be called to do that. It's living a life and being like Jesus. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be like Jesus in thought and word and deed. Don't excuse something in your own life because it's better than someone else. Well, that guy's addicted to like hardcore porn. I'm only into softcore. No, no. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to Jesus. Yeah, I don't beat my wife. I mean, I talk abusively to her. No, no, no. Compare yourself to Jesus. You say, well, He's up there. I'd never attain there. Ah, by the power of the Spirit, number one, we can be changed in a profound way so we're not who we used to be. And number two, we continue to strive towards the goal and walk towards that all the days of our lives. 866-34-TRUTH, because it's Labor Day and we're live. I'm taking a wide range of calls on a wide range of subjects. So we go to Irma in the Bronx. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Irma.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Brown. That's a good call. I want the world to hear my problem. Where I'm living, I can't believe everything has become Muslim. If I go shopping, I go to a store, they keep asking me why I don't convert.
Hey, Irma, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It looks like we got a bad connection. But apparently where you live now in the city, you're saying that things are turning Islamic all around you. Muslims are allowed to hold services in public parks. You know, Irma, I'm sure it's shocking if you see women in Islamic garb, if you see growing number of mosques, certainly all over Brooklyn and other parts of New York. There's no question that in certain places, Islam is spreading. Muslims have complete freedom to do this, Irma. They have complete freedom to live out their faith in America. That's part of our very fabric in our society. A religious Jew, a secular Jew, an atheist, a born-again believer, a Catholic, a Muslim, a Mormon, whoever they are, we have absolute freedom to live out our lives as long as we don't break the laws. What the answer to the rise of Islam is the rise of the gospel. The only answer is the awakening of Christian believers and the spread of the gospel to the lost. That's the only answer and solution. And Irma, you may feel surrounded, but if you know Jesus, you have the opportunity to make him known to others. If you don't, finding him will be the ultimate solution to the struggles in your own life. Hey, sorry I can't talk more. Just had a bad connection there. Okay, that leads me to a relevant subject. This past Friday here in Charlotte, I'm right outside of Charlotte where we broadcast, there was a gathering of 200 or less Muslims in Marshall Park. They were hoping not for 400 or 500 or 1,000 or 2,000. They announced that there would be 20,000 present. I don't understand how they could have said that, how they could have been so misled in their thinking as to expect that. I know the organizers yesterday with Charlotte 714, we worked on them with them closely through this whole event, and we're in constant contact. The amphitheater where we were, maybe if you filled everything, it seats 15,000, 20,000, maybe. Under an awning, though, was what, 5,000, 8,000 seats, something like that, in case it rained, which it did at a certain point. And the organizers didn't know. We get 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, 10,000, 6,000, didn't know. But we knew it would be several thousand at least, and it ended up, according to the theater itself and the programs given out and so on, total of about 9,000 were there at one time or another over the course of 6 or 7 hours last night. I don't know how the organizers of this Muslim prayer in Charlotte Park here, in Marshall Park here in Charlotte, could have expected 20,000 and got 200. So obviously people just spoke with complete presumption. And it was actually somewhat sad to see the numbers, although glad to see them on another level, of course. And I don't think you'd fit 20,000 people in Marshall Park in the area where they're set up. I don't even think that's feasible. But don't be deceived. Islam is growing. Don't be deceived. There are, 1.6 billion Muslims worldwide. I know many are nominal. But when we talk about 2.1 or 2.2 billion Christians, many of them are nominal. Let's remember that in England, as I've been told, for some years now, on a Friday, there are more Muslims attending services in the mosque than Christians attending services on Sunday morning. We're talking about England. For several years now in England, the number one boy's name has been Muhammad. If any year it didn't appear first, it's only because there were different spellings and they weren't factored in. It's been number one for several years now. And Muslims certainly have their eyes on America. I mentioned that last night in my closing message at Charlotte 714. We need awakening, revival in our nation. And it starts with you and me. 866-34-TRUTH. Barbara in Las Vegas, Nevada, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Comment on the program as far as revival goes. I'm a woman of age. And I have lived through several, many revivals, actually, and promises of revivals. And looking back on actually history for the last, say, couple hundred years or so, I haven't seen where any of the revivals that we were promised or that we actually walked through really changed anything. In fact, it was a temporary kind of a hype, so to speak. And then things have gotten darker and worse, just in general, than what they were before. In fact, some of the those that are responsible for the revivals were some of the offenders themselves.
And can you give me one example, say, of a revival, a national revival in the 1800s that didn't have a national impact and effect, or an example?
Well, I'm talking about a lasting effect.
Yeah, lasting effect.
And how the world is today.
Well, it can't. All right, but it can't outlive a generation. In other words, if we look
well,
at...
Well, it should go from generation to generation if it's a true revival.
Barbara, give me one example of a true revival that went from generation to generation in a different country.
Well, this is my point.
But Barbara, you just defined it in such a way to undefine it. In other words, you define revival in a way... Every revival can have an impact on a generation. That's the key thing. What happens to the next generation is going to be up to that next generation. But America has been shaped and transformed by revival. Almost every major positive national change in our society in the last 200, 250 years is directly traced back to revival. I mean, it's documented. But let's keep talking about this. Stay right there.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming away live on Labor Day, which means the phones are open for anything you want to talk about. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can also interact with us online and ask Dr. Brown. That's one word, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. On the phone now with Barbara in Las Vegas, Nevada, who said that she's lived long enough to see a lot of hype and promise of revival and not really see anything happen and nothing that had a multi-generational impact. And I first challenged her on that definition of revival. Often in the history of Israel, something had a generational impact and then the next generation backslid or the generation that was radically touched and repented carried that out. And then once the elders died, the next generation didn't follow. But the Methodist awakening with John Wesley and George Whitefield and others in the 1700s in England shaped England in the 1800s and even into the 1900s in certain ways. And the freedom of slaves goes directly back to that. The Second Great Awakening that took place at a time of great moral decline in America in the late 1700s after the Revolutionary War brought transformation, helped tame the Wild West, turned many back to God, brought awakening to universities like Yale and places like that. The prayer movement, the prayer revival that swept America in 1857, 1858, and then jumped over to parts of England and Ireland in 1859, that leads the way to the emancipation of the slaves. And that leads to the birthing of ministries like Hudson Taylor's China Inland Mission, the most powerful missions movement of its generation, and William Booth and the Salvation Army, the most powerful home evangelistic movement, and the ministry of D.L. Moody. This all comes out of the 1857, 1858 prayer revival. I was saved in the Jesus People movement, which took place late 1960s, early 1970s, and many of the key leaders in the body today around the world were radically saved as hippies, rebels, and all kinds of things during that time. The Brownsville revival that I was part of went from 1995 to 2000. I was part of it from 96 to 2000. The results are extraordinary. The missionaries that are serving around the world who were touched, the individual believers who were transformed, the people who were lost now are saved and are citizens in the kingdom, I've seen great fruit. So I know there can be a lot of hype, Barbara, but I'm kind of baffled based on history and what I've seen with my own eyes, how you can just kind of reject revivals as having lasting impact.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. There was a caller previous that spoke of the restitution of all things, and this is what I wanted to tie in with. Our focus has been so much on this world, but yet what I'm seeing in the Word is that the restitution of all things means all things, not just this tiny little planet. And what in the examples that I'm seeing from the scriptures, starting with Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and Jesus, who said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also.
Okay.
even
So this will happen. This will happen when Jesus.
The heavens are going to be on fire.
All right. Barbara, hang on. Yes, when Jesus returns, we're praying for his return. But right now we're here in this world, and we've been here in this world for 2,000 years. So what does the fact that we're praying for the return of Jesus and the restitution of all things have to do with revival in this generation?
What I'm saying is that any revival that's happened has been so temporary. If it's lasted a generation, we're fortunate. Most of them have not. But that's wonderful if it does, though.
In other words, Barbara, I'm sorry. I know you have questions, but you got to listen to me. Right now, I'm longing for the return of Jesus. I should long for it even more, I'm sure. I'm longing for the return of Jesus. I want to see him return. Our world is totally messed up. Suffering will not end until he comes back. But right now, my neighbor needs Jesus. Right now, the young person across the street needs Jesus. Right now, some bound person needs to be set free. And we need God to move more deeply to see these things happen more profoundly. Barbara, if we can see a revival that impacts a generation, that's awesome, because all we have is a generation. All we have is one lifetime. If I could see God move in such a way that affected this generation, that would be mind-bogglingly wonderful, because all I have is a generation or a lifetime, which spans a few generations, you could say. Look, pray for the return of Jesus, but what do we do in the meantime? Do what we know how to do and pray for awakening. I think you need to adjust that attitude, Barbara, so you're longing for God to move today. Look, if it lasts 3 years, let it last 3 years. If it lasts 6 months, let it last 6 months. If it lasts 10 years, let it last 10 years. And let's be jealous for lasting fruit. That's the very reason I'm reading these 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. 866-34-TRUTH. I know some folks have been holding for a bit. I just want to jump to this one call. Beverly in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
I promise I'm not going to argue with you, okay?
Sure.
I just want to know, why is our president, man, treated so poorly by people who call themselves Christians? And I mean, I just feel like they have just not even given him half a chance to do what he's capable of doing, and it bothers me that these people are calling themselves Christians. I'm going to hold and let you answer that one.
All right. Thank you, Beverly, and thank you for the spirit in which you're asking it. Let me give two answers. If Christians are speaking evil of the president and are not honoring authority and are bad-mouthing him as if he's some kid next door, that's wrong. That's out of order. Even in the midst of our profound disagreements, we must honor the president's office and pray for him. So if professing Christians are speaking of him, like when Rush Limbaugh used to talk about Slick Willie, President Clinton's Slick Willie, I thought, okay, doesn't matter if the critique is right. It's wrong to speak of the president. Like, of course, Rush wasn't doing it as a professing Christian necessarily. But on the other hand, Beverly, I heard some messages from some African-American pastors yesterday at Charlotte 14 who feel that Mr. Obama has completely dishonored and betrayed the African-American community and the American people. He is sadly the most radical pro-abortion president in our history. When he was a senator, 4 times he voted against the partial abortion ban. In other words, if a baby tried to abort a baby and the baby was born alive, that you could not kill that baby. 4 times he voted against that. He has commended Planned Parenthood, which is responsible for a black genocide. Unbelievable number of African-American babies aborted. When Mr. Obama said on May 9th that he stands for the redefinition of marriage and that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman, that fundamentally violates Christian values of the highest order. So because believers feel there's blood on his hands through his sanctioning and enabling of abortion, and there's guilt on his hands because of his stand to redefine marriage, those are terribly grievous. I could not possibly vote for him, Beverly, in good conscience. I don't know I can vote for Mitt Romney either, but I could not vote for Mr. Obama. I honor him as my president, but I grieve for the moral stands he's taken. I think that speaks for many others, but thank you for your call and your graciousness, Beverly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. It's Labor Day, but I am coming your way live on Labor Day with a good report from the Charlotte 714 event. Took place in Charlotte, the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater yesterday from 2:30 in the afternoon to 9:30 plus. The worship and praise went on for a while after that. A total, we were told by the Verizon Amphitheater, of 9,000 people over the course of the day, maybe as many as 4,000 or more present at any one time. So it was a great time of repentance, prayer, seeking the face of God, and making a fresh commitment to follow Jesus, whether by life or by death. I had the privilege of bringing the final message of the day, at which we read 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, which I will share with you today. 866-34-TRUTH. I've also opened the phone lines wide today. Off topic, on topic, doesn't matter. We're taking your calls. 866-348-7884. Number one commitment of a Jesus Revolutionary. You say, oh man, we're going to like pull out our shotguns and our weapons and bombs. No. Put the gun down. Put the sword down. Put the anger down. Put the hatred down. Put the intimidation down. Put any thoughts of violence down. We're talking about following Jesus. We're talking about his example. He said to Peter, put your sword back into the sheath, because those who live by the sword die by the sword. No, we're talking about being revolutionaries like Jesus, laying down our lives for a hurting, dying world, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, blessing those who curse us, praying for those who persecute us. That's what we're talking about. Number one commitment of a Jesus Revolutionary, I'll spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word, knowing that everything flows out of relationship with God and the truth of the Word. Number two, I'll walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. Friends, if we had not been changed ourselves, we cannot go and change others. We cannot give what we do not have. The power of our call to repentance will line up with the power of a life dedicated to the Lord. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Friends, as we do that, as we recognize where we have been ashamed of him, as we recognize that maybe we're willing to talk about abortion, or maybe we're willing to talk about politics, or maybe we're willing to talk about other controversial issues, but to just say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Whatever positive things you see in my life, they're because of him. We realize where there's shame for the gospel. Repent of that and say, Lord, refresh me again with a spirit of boldness. Enable me again to be bold for the gospel. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Are you doing that, friends? You want to be a revolutionary? You want to be a world changer? Want to shake this generation? Want to live a life that makes a difference? Don't want to waste the years that you have? What can you do that's going to bring lasting fruit? Commit yourself afresh to the Great Commission. I'm not the best talker. That doesn't matter. Look, you can touch people I can't touch. You have circles of friends, family, coworkers that I don't have. You live in a neighborhood I don't live in. Ask God for opportunities. Most people get saved through the witness of a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, and not through an organized Christian meeting. Look for opportunities to win the lost. If someone's backslidden, start to pray for them regularly. Let's pray for all of our backslidden friends and family members. And then make disciples. You've got someone close to you that's a new believer. You know more than they know. Help them. Help them grow in the Lord. Set an example. Number five, I'll seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Oh, you talk about doing something revolutionary. You talk about doing something that's going to make a lasting impact. Start to do this, friend. Reach out to those who've been offended. Reach out to those whose hearts have been hardened. Forgive where you have offended. Be an ambassador of reconciliation and thereby represent King Jesus. Back with your calls and more of the commitments.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to The Line of Line of Fire broadcast. Okay, I got to confess something. 866-34-TRUTH, Recovery Your Way Live on Labor Day. I got to confess something. The reason I slurred my words of something I've said like 10,000 times was I was just shooting an email to Nancy during the break, and I thought I had to type the last word, and I was typing a word as I was talking. Yeah, I'm making a confession to my Labor Day audience here on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about practical things we can do to live lives that will make a difference. Do any of you listening to me right now want to live your life in such a way that when it's all done, you have nothing but regret? Of course not. Do you want to live your whole life and at the end of it think, what I have to show for it? Where's the legacy? We're kids who've been impacted, or grandkids who've been impacted. Where are others who've been impacted? Have I made a mark? Have I made a difference? How has my life contributed to God's work? Surely you don't want to get to the end of your life and think, I survived. There's got to be more. And we can all take practical steps to bring about change. Sometimes we look at the problems and they're so massive and impossible. Oh, no. What can we do? I understand that. It'd be devastating, paralyzing. You know, you look at one need. Okay, here's one hurting person. I need a bed for tonight. Okay, we got a bed in my house. I can take them in. Yeah, all right, we can do that. And then you look and see, around the block, it's 10,000 hurting. I'm paralyzed. Don't know what to do. That's understandable. But we all can do something. And if we all did what we can do in seeking the Lord, in obeying the Lord, in doing the little things as well as the big things, before you know it, our own lives will be revolutionized and there'll be sweeping change. It'll be spiraling out from our lives and touching others. If enough believers do it, before you know it, the city, the region can be impacted. The nation can be impacted. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, the phones are open for a wide range of subjects today. So back to the phones, beginning with Tom in Augusta, Maine. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Michael. I go back about 20 years with you, at least I guess 20 years, when you held a seminar in Manhattan, New York City. I attended that.
Wonderful.
I also, being Labor Day, I'd like to say that I'm a Gold Card member of a union. That gives me 50 years plus under my belt with that.
Wow.
And I've long been a believer. Started with the grain of salt, the smallest seed, the mustard seed, I should say. And
yeah.
I had my encounter with the Lord April 6, 1966, when the Holy Spirit gave me revelation about Jesus. So that's
wonderful.
A little background, and thank you, Lord, for everything. I'd like to say, with regard to the subject that I hear spoken of quite frequently, with regard to our homosexual brothers and sisters, the nephews and nieces, who Jesus says, the two, you know, you suggested 10, wonderful, very uplifting and helpful, I'm sure. I like the two that Jesus said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. And in loving my neighbor, that includes the homosexual community, who are, I'm sure, wonderful people, intelligent, etc. But I would just like to make, this is my point, Michael, I would like to know why it is that you don't hear people speaking more when they want to be of some help to the homosexual community, but I don't mention Matthew chapter 13, the sowing of the seed, specifically a little way down where Jesus explains what the sowing of the seed is, that the Son of Man sows the seed, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that today there are homosexuals in the church, some church, who believe that they are, followers of the Lord. And whether it's wishful thinking, I don't think it's a matter of fact.
So you're saying you don't find adequate preaching of the word in this context? I'm not sure I follow your question,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, Matthew 13 specifically, because Jesus speaks about the wheat and the tares. And I think that if anybody has ears to hear, like he said, they would recognize, perhaps see themselves in the wheat and the tares. And so at the end, we know what the scripture says, that
Separation coming. Yeah, the final separation. Yeah, so to jump in, obviously, there are going to be those that are in churches that appear to be believers and are not. Heterosexual, homosexual, people from all different backgrounds. And we understand ultimately it's the word of God that gives us insight into how to discern right from wrong and true believer from false believer. Ultimately, God will make a separation. So here's what's written in 2 Timothy 2:19, despite heresy and false teaching, nevertheless, the foundation of God remains secure, having this inscription. Number one, the Lord knows those who are his. So God knows who his people are. Number two, let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord depart from wickedness. So every one of us who claims to be a follower of Jesus must depart from wickedness, must depart from everything that God calls sin. Otherwise, we have no guarantee, according to Scripture, that we are one of his. That's our responsibility. Hey, Tom, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Sandra in Atlanta, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Hello. The lady named Barbara who called earlier about revival and how she didn't see lasting fruit. I have a comment about just the churches in the Western civilization in general, United States in particular. K.P. O'Hanlon has a book called Revolution in World Global Government.
World Missions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in there he points out some things about how we in this country have used the blessings of God for ourselves and we aren't really, that isn't why he blessed us. He blessed us to be a light to the world, mm-hmm, and to give to the Christians in need, but we tend to give to ourselves in need too much. We have all these wonderful programs for Christians in this country. We have Christian concerts. We have churches that have basketball programs for kids. They have all these things for the people here. They spend umpteen millions of dollars on church buildings and activities here, while they're suffering church members in Asia and other of the
absolutely
persecuted
countries. I work with them on a regular basis around the world.
Don't even have a Bible. But my point is, what she was saying is, I believe the reason why, quote, revivals or even church services are not as effective in producing lasting fruit today is because the scripture tells us that Jesus said we can do nothing of ourselves, and that, mm-hmm, means that you can't. And also the most important scripture to me that I've ever had told me in my life is John 17:3, in which I learned that the 25 years I spent in legalistic church doing and doing good deeds and doing the list of things did not give me a personal relationship with, mm-hmm, Jesus Christ. And to get to know Jesus, it says eternal life is to know him and his only son. And that word know is the word that means the most intimate kind of knowing there can be. And I realized that I did not know him intimately after 25 years in a church that I kept very busy in, and I particularly was taught, you've got to serve God. Well,
yeah, and
you
Sandra,
don't
just
serve
yeah,
God
just
out
just
of
to
your own effort, because we don't have
right.
anything to give. We have to give him our life. We have to give up the idols of the world, love
yes.
not the world, so that he can fill us with his love, and then the fruit that is supposed to come out is him doing it.
Yeah,
Sandra.
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. That's what happens in revival, you see. I'm an eyewitness to it. That's what happens to tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. They come into a personal relationship with the Lord. They come into a personal relationship with the Lord, and out of that personal relationship with the Lord, they're changed, and then others around them get changed. But that's also, Sandra, why I started the Ten Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary with, number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Yes, as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But with him and in him, all things are possible. That's why my 10th point on the list is I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. Absolutely. That's the gospel. That's the foundation. And that's why we need fresh wave of revival to awaken us and change us so we can go and change our world. But while we're praying for it in our church, in our city, in our nation, we can experience it in our own lives. Remember the principle. Here's how you pray for revival. Draw a circle on the ground. Get inside the circle and say, God, revive everything inside this circle. We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are live on Labor Day, and based on the volume of calls today, glad to see so many of you listening to us live on Labor Day. Those that normally don't get a chance to listen live, glad we've been able to talk to you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me finish off the 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Number 6, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number 7, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number 8, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. One thing I said last night in my closing message at Charlotte 714 was the only reason that abortion on demand still exists in the city of Charlotte, the only reason that the mothers and unborn don't have hope for life, is because of the apathy of the Church of Charlotte. That's the only reason. That is the only reason. So I'll be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number 9, I will stand for righteousness and justice in my city, speaking the truth in love regardless of cost or consequence. Friends, doesn't take a lot if God's people would stand up when they see unrighteousness, when they see wrong things being done in their school curriculum, when they see laws that people want to pass that are unrighteous. If we just stood up, 10, 20% of us that know the Lord stood up for righteousness and spoke the truth, the tide would be radically turned. Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. Are you some charismatic? You some Hey, don't worry about that. Go to God and say, Father, I want everything you have for me. Father, I want the fullness of your Spirit, whatever it is that you're giving in this day and age, whatever it is that's available to serve a dying world and to point to the resurrection of Jesus and to enable me to be a more powerful witness for your glory and your reputation. I want everything you have. Anyone have an argument with that? Are we going to divide over that? To the phones, Rudy in High Point, North Carolina. Nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, hello, Dr. Brown. This is Rudy Hennett. I just wanted to let you know I went to the rally in Charlotte, 714, yesterday. I had to leave before you you spoke, but it was an awesome meeting. The weather was hot, of course, but the speakers were tremendous, and I just want to let you know that.
I'm so glad you were there. Yeah, and as the day went on, there were many, many powerful moments. There was great time in worship, people seeking the Lord. Yeah, and a lot of powerful messages early in the day, middle of the day, late in the day. It was a long day to be there.
Yeah, I left. I signed the pledge. I was there.
Wonderful, wonderful, excellent. Yeah, and we had a powerful time. I believe we'll see lasting results. And I was able to bring the closing message, and there were several thousand probably that were still there at that point. It's hard to see in the dark, but yeah. Just about everybody that was there came forward to make a fresh commitment of their lives to follow Jesus, whether by life or by death, which is the basic gospel commitment. And then we gave out thousands of these 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary that had written up some years before that David Benham had the great idea of circulating to everyone. So I'm so glad you were there, Rudy, And let's keep believing for God to shake our region. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. That's one of our faithful supporters, Torchbearers. That's why he identified himself. So thanks, Rudy, for helping to make even these moments possible on the air right now. Thanks to all of our Torchbearers and to those who pray for us and to the many who've given one-time donations. Thank you. Jimmy in North Plainfield, New Jersey, you're on the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just want to thank you for all the messages you just share with us every day. And I can say that you have shared with me and put in my heart the revolution that God wants to share with us, especially in these times that we're having. Then I want to share something with you. I had the chance to preach yesterday in my church, and we're having so many problems. So many people are very heartbreaking. Their hearts are breaking, and the people are leaving. There's a lot of division in the church. So they gave me the chance to share a message yesterday. So,
wonderful.
So I give the message. I took the Hezekiah syndrome that you talk about every time, many times.
Ah, yeah, Isaiah 39.
That was wonderful. People react. The people, you know, wake up, kind of listen, and then respond to the call of revolution to fight for our children, for our generations, especially at this time in this country and the world. So we had the chance to join together and pray with to the Lord. Like never before, so I saw the fire that you always talk about. So I was very excited, and everyone. But some of the people was crying, and I think we need that in our hearts and in this country especially, you know. And I want to thank you for everything.
Oh, Jimmy, you are very welcome, and my reward, my thanks, comes from hearing your testimony, how the fire is in your heart, and how it spread to others. And Jimmy, what you do from here is those who have a like heart, whether it's three people or 300, keep the fire going. Keep saying, right, let's keep crying out to God. Okay, what can we do? Don't let people get complacent, because, you know, it's just like when you're cooking at a grill or barbecue or something like that, and you get the coals there, and then they start to get hot, and then they start to catch fire, and next thing, the whole thing's blazing. That can happen, and the fire spreads. So just keep pouring fuel on it by encouraging folks, hey, let's go for it. Let's pray. Why don't we pray tonight? Hey, let's go out and touch some lost people. Hey, here's someone that needs help. Here's an area we can stand together. And as you do that, lives will be changed in a lasting way. Thanks for that testimony. That really blesses me, Jimmy. And let us know how we can be of ongoing help to you, all right?
All right. Amen. Thank you for everything. Keep going.
All right. God bless. Well, that makes my day. I don't know if it makes your day, but it makes my day to hear of someone who's touched by the message of Jesus' revolution through the broadcast, through the messages, preaches it to his church, the Hezekiah syndrome, and says, hey, it's okay in my day. Can't worry about the next generation. God, stir my brother Jimmy and stir those in his church, and may there be a real Jesus movement that breaks out from there. Friends, just want to remind you that our extraordinary partnership with Logos Bible Software goes on. More than 27,000 ebooks available, base package, where you can get a 15% discount. This is extraordinary that they've continued this promotion with us. And you're searching scripture, topics, verses, you plug in the info, and boom, suddenly 10, 20, 50, 100, 200 references, all key to what you're studying. And every sale through them, we get a 15% discount. So here's where to find out more. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore, and you'll have a link to the special 15% off Logos base packages with a number to call to. In fact, here's the number, 1-800-875-6467, 1-800-875-6467, and mention the Line of Fire. My bottom line today, talk is cheap, action is costly. Are we going to put our words into action? Are we going to live out what we preach and believe? The time is now.